Baker Mayfield, undraftable, off my board.
The Cleveland Browns select Baker Mayfield.
What a beautiful throw by the Baker!
Victor! Hasta la vista, baby! Touchdown!
Welcome into the OBR Film Breakdown. I'm your host, Jake Burns. We are once again on this Blue Wire Podcast Network, brought to you by TickPick, TickPick.com, the original no-fee ticket site. Believe in themselves so much that if you can go out and find another ticket site with the same ticket for a cheaper price, you can get 110% of that match. Literally, what you see is the price on the screen, is the price you pay when you're finished. You can use the promo code BREAKDOWN to take advantage of $10 off your first order. If you're going to get tickets for the Browns-Cardinals game coming up, not this weekend, but the following weekend, use the promo code BREAKDOWN, TickPick.com, TickPick.com/breakdown. Get $10 off your first order. Again, use the website on a computer. Don't go to the app. Use the website. The app is great, but to use the promo code effectively, you got to go to a computer. TickPick.com/breakdown. Now, starting our offensive comprehensive breakdown, we are going to look specifically at players not named Baker Mayfield, because we have talked about Baker Mayfield enough. I wrote about him. I got all my feelings out earlier in the week, and you can go back and watch the Twitch show that I just did, his film room. And again, I tried to do that as a pod on here again. I can't do it. It is just terrible. Like, you can't get anything from it. And if you want my opinion on Baker, I wrote about it. It's up at the OBR. You can find it. He played poorly, has to play better, and there's no way around it. The reads were okay for the most part, but to me, again, he's just got to place the football more accurately. He's got plenty of opportunities to do so. Season's not defined. Move on from it. Try to be better this week. If the shoulders hurt, find your way to the bench for a couple games. If it's really impairing your ability to throw, if not, then you just got to be better. It's do what's best for the team, man. If you're too hurt to play, step aside for a couple weeks and allow Case Keenum to do what he's capable of doing as a qualified backup. If you can play, you got to play better. Just leave it at that. Other places you can find my opinion, there you go. Personnel data. So the Browns were in 21 personnel, two backs. I include a fullback here. That is the second back. Two backs, one tight end, just one play. They were not in any 22 personnel. Now, if I see places keep documenting or registering Dimitri Felton as a running back, I'm going to get upset. He is not a running back. He is a wide receiver. He does not carry the football. They did not have a single 22 snap. 12 personnel, 19 snaps, 26% of the time. 11 personnel, 35 times, which is 46%, which stays on track with the season data where the Browns were at 40%. 11 personnel last year, they're up to 46% this year. We have seen an uptick in 11 personnel. And again, I count Felton as 11 personnel. 13 personnel, one back, three tight ends, 16 snaps, 22% of the time in this game, and then three goal line snaps, which were 23. So two backs, a running back, fullback, and then a set of three tight ends. They were in there three times. So 47 motions and 74 snaps, 64%. Baker throws for 155, the Browns run for 190. They do decently with time of possession. They were okay. They just didn't capitalize and get points. You can call this game close, but it should never have been close. It should have been a 35-7 outcome, something like that. The Browns dominated it from a players on the field perspective, but the quarterback just did not meet his end of the bargain. So, again, it's whatever at this point. Bakes got to be better. I think he knows he's got to be better. When the Vikings brought pressure, five or more rushers, they were 1 of 8 for 8 yards passing. They did that 8 times. They brought 5-plus rushers. He did complete a 21-yard throw against 6 rushers, 1 of 2 for 21 yards. But, yeah, that's the throw data from when they brought 5 or more blitzers. Baker was panicked in some of those scenarios. And really, the Vikings did a nice job cutting down a lot of the things like to do from the Browns as far as over crossers, double moves, a couple nice coverages on double moves, but Odell got a couple too. Ball hit the corner in the back of the head. Cameron Dantzler, the ball that should have clinched the game that was thrown behind him, he got Harrison Smith. So the Vikings defensive game plan was fine if you're looking at results, but I thought the Browns, and Kevin Stefanski called a great game. called a great game. Gave them plenty of opportunities to score the football. Quarterback could have had four touchdown passes. So take it for what it's worth. The running back duo ran the football 35 times, Kareem Hunt, Nick Chubb. 19 gap schemes, 15 zone schemes. Kareem Hunt has a better rushing grade in this one, a 71 rushing grade. They gave Nick a 56.6. I thought he was fine for the most part. You know, he's not had really any really big explosive plays, but he's still really good, and he's capitalizing on yards that he can, every single yard he can get. He had a couple catches in the running back room, 2 for 17 from Kareem Hunt. Nick had one little settle route for 5 yards right in front of the quarterback. Let's see here. Missed tackles forced. Kareem forced 2 missed tackles. Nick forced 1 missed tackle. They did register Baker forcing 2 missed tackles, which is it's a bit surprising, right? He had 1 carry for 11 yards in the game. 10-plus yard rushes. Nick and Kareem both had 10-plus yard rushes. And again, the thing for Kareem Hunt is he's the gap runner, right? There are 3 zone runs for Kareem Hunt and 10 gap rushes. They use Nick pretty equally, 11 zone and 9 gap. So they'll do whatever. They'll kind of be in the middle there. Baker had 1 rush, which was that read option on the first drive, which he executed nicely. As far as blocking grades, let's take a peek at that. Run blocking metrics, Joel Bitonio with a 90.5 run blocking grade, 86.7 in zone, 74.8 in gap. Jedrick Wills in his 26, he played more than that. He played 52 snaps, 73.8 grade. He's been better in run game this year. That's an encouraging thing. 65.7 in run, in zone, 67.3 in gap. Jack Conklin, one of his lower graded games in the run, 73.4. I thought he was okay. Some angles were a little askew that I think caught him leaning sometimes. Kyle Murphy will do a nice breakdown of that with us tonight. Conklin finished with a 67.8 in gap. Treader did not have a great run blocking game, 66.7, 57.3 in zone, and 61.4 in gap. Wyatt Teller, 87.5 in zone, but gap schemes, he struggled to a 44.3 grade, which put him at 65.7. Andy Janovich in 3 fullback blocking plays, graded at 49.9 from the tight ends, 55.7 from Bryant. David Njoku, 63.1, and Austin Hooper, a 77.3 in run blocking. So Njoku and Hooper leading the way there. Pass blocking. Okay, pressures allowed in this game. 14 pressures allowed. Okay, it's not very good. They didn't give up a sack, but the quarterback was getting pressured and moved off of his spot in the pocket a lot. Jed Wills gave up 2 hurries. Jack Conklin gave up 3 hurries. James Hudson gave up 2 hurries and just 10 snaps. Wyatt Teller gave up 2 hurries. Austin Hooper gave up 1. Joel Bitonio gave up 1. J.C. Treader gave up 2. And Kareem Hunt gave up 1 as well. True pass blocking sets. Okay? Those predictable pass situations. Wyatt Teller, 48.0. James Hudson, 29.3. Jack Conklin, 47.4. Jed Wills, 23.0. 13 were given up in true pass sets. So we can talk about Baker, which was not good. The pass blocking performance was not as strong as it needs to be either. So Baker's not going to always bail out his offensive line. Like, we've kind of seen that for a little while. He needs them to play well, and I don't know that they've been playing as well to start the year. They've been good, but this game was not a very good game. I thought the Vikings front, and especially Danielle Hunter and Everson Griffin, who have wound the clock back to years past, put together a really good game for Minnesota, which again moved Baker off of his spots. No excuse for missing some of the throws he did, but I definitely think they dictated some things overall. Your highest graded Browns in the game in 6 snaps, Demetric Felton had an 80.1. We talked about Joel Bitonio's 90.9. Rashard Higgins in 41 snaps had a 76.1. Kareem Hunt, 70.3. And then it's all into the 60s. Treader, Conklin, Njoku, Teller, and Hooper in the 60s. And then everyone else down below into the 50s. And it's a shame. I mean, Odell gets a 56.1, and I just think that's laughable. He gets the ball delivered where he needs to get it. He goes for 200 yards. So, I don't know. That's a pretty skewed data piece right there. Whatever. 56.1. Let's check receiver grades. and we'll give you a better feel for this thing here. If they mark somebody down as having a drop, they gave drops to Kareem Hunt and Austin Hooper. Hooper on that slant. Kareem Hunt dropped a ball out of the backfield. There were no other drops in this one. So the receiving grades, like Odell's 56.3, is quite peculiar. From a yardage standpoint, 63 from Higgins, 27 from Odell on 7 targets, only 2 catches. Njoku with 2 for 17. Kareem Hunt, 2 for 17. Hooper, 1 for 11. Nick Chubb, 1 for 5. Bryant, 1 for 3. So, you know, the metrics aren't very good in the receiving side, and I think that you can obviously agree that that's largely due to who was delivering them the football, which it did not go well. So it's sort of a results-driven grade here for some of these wide receiver stats. I just think that it's a little tough to do sometimes when it's not particularly their fault. Should note that Higgins had 3 catches for first downs and Kareem Hunt had 2 for first downs. So that's the extent of it. That's the data for your offense. If you want to learn more about it, we do Chalk Talks every Wednesday. Okay? They're really focused on offense in 2 phases. We'll have Baker. Now, we had Baker Tuesday, but going forward after this week, it will be Wednesdays. We'll have Baker offensive line play back-to-back where you get the perspective of the run game and the pass game in that offensive line study. And then we will also do defense with John Stephenson so you can get all of that. So you have the data. You've got some information about the performances. I thought the game plan was great from Kevin Stefanski, moving people at the line of scrimmage, getting some double moves to his best receiver to get him in space. Really didn't go and empty a ton to put pressure on Baker. He tried to do some things with chipping and running back releases that were helping out with pressure. I just think, again, the game plan was fine, but the execution was really poor, and they have to be better in that regard, and I hope that they will be, especially going out to LA to play a pretty good Chargers team. So, onward and upward. You will have your All-22 scouting notes for offense up by the end of the day on Wednesday, so keep your eye out for that. All-22 scouting notes for defense went up. If you're not an OBR subscriber to the website, I really urge you to do so, because that is the most comprehensive look you're going to get at the Browns defense and offense. And I'm talking, you get all the data, not just the things I'm giving you little snippets here in this podcast, but you're getting like coverages on offense. You're getting concepts. You're getting a lot of different things, and you're getting a lot of All-22 clips that I don't make public that you can't see otherwise, you know, cut up into this thing for you. You know, that's the beauty of it. It is like delivered in your inbox, everything you need to know about how the Browns are playing on both sides of the football. So join us at the OBR if you can. Your first month is only $1. You can really get a feel for how good we are and how good my articles are. And you can get a feel for if it's worth your time and energy. If you just joined via the podcast, I appreciate that too. That means a lot to me. Now, we're going to get over to our guest, who is Jeff Risden of the USA Today Network. He worked on the Browns forever, has sort of stepped away from the Browns a little bit, but he's obviously still closely following them. He does a lot of extensive work on the Lions. Jeff's got great content angles on the Browns, so we are going to go over to that interview with Jeff right now.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Welcoming in Mr. Jeff Risden. How are you, my friend?
It is great to be with you, Jake. Thanks for having me, buddy.
Of course. Well, we're going to talk about this Browns offense. We've probably all invested a little too much thought into it, as we do in this business, yeah. Right, Jeff? We think too much about these things. They're 9th in DVOA, yet it feels like they're not. It's probably tied to the quarterback more than anything. Probably can remove the word probably, where recency bias sticks true. Where are you at on them collectively? Like, Are you okay? It's a bad stretch here. They're going to figure it out. Or are you kind of concerned about the bigger picture?
I am concerned about Jedrick Wills and his health. That concerns me a lot because he's clearly not the same guy that he has been or that they need him to be. And that's a problem because when they brought James Hudson in, it was clear that as poorly as Jed was playing, oh my God, that can't happen. So that's an issue. I think J.C. Tretter has regressed some at center, specifically in the run blocking game, and that's not good either. But like you said, I mean, everybody's going to focus on six, and he's had a couple of bad games. I don't think he's healthy. I think his non-throwing shoulder is a problem that he separated against Houston. I think it's impacting his ability to throw the ball accurately down the field and to the outsides. I don't know if you've seen that or not, but you can tell the way he's holding his left hand when he throws the ball is different now than it was before. He's not putting it out in front as much, which doesn't create, you know, the leverage, I don't know the proper kinesiology terminology for it, but it throws off the balance of power in his shoulders, if you will. And I saw that, and I watched the game very closely, and I went back and I watched the first game again. And it is different, and it's subtle, and you do have to look for it, but it's there, and that's a problem too. I will also say I think Minnesota's defense is really stinking good, and I think they did a great job of taking away what they wanted to do, specifically in the passing game, and they deserve some credit for that too. I thought Houston's defense, oddly enough, played pretty darn well against Cleveland as well. So, you know, sometimes the other guys are good. It is the same offense. It's on film now. Teams have had a chance to look at it. And so the continuity factor that you get from Baker coming back in the same offense and everything, well, the other teams know, okay, well, it's not really going to change either. So they've had an offseason to adjust to what the Browns have done. And I don't think that gets talked up enough either. The fact that they haven't really added a lot more. Maybe it's because some of the other teams that I watched, the Lions as an example, installed a completely new offense, and that makes them much more difficult to defend. Mm-hmm. When it's the same thing over and over, you just have to execute better, and they're not executing better, and that could be part of the regression there too. I don't know if that sounds weird or not, but that's where my head's at with it.
No, it's not weird. It's not weird. I think you dislocate your shoulder, there's going to be something, right? There's going to be something. It's just a matter of how big that something is. And it gets to the point too, Jeff, if you can't make the throws that you were missing yesterday, and you missed a couple of those same throws in Chicago, if you can't make them, then a hard discussion needs to happen. I don't care how tough you are, dude. Like, kudos. Congrats. Like, that's awesome. There's a nature in Cleveland of playing through injury. Like, there's no doubt. Joe Thomas set the bar. The offensive line clearly tries to follow that. Tretter follows it. Betonio doesn't miss games unless COVID's involved. Jed's trying to man up and play through the injury at the ankle. I think if Chris Hubbard was healthy, there would be a little less stress on Jed forcing it, right?
But totally agree with that. Yeah, totally.
But there's the same with Baker trying to prove toughness. But hey, man, if you need to take 2 or 3 weeks, we're paying $7 million to your backup to do this if you need him to step in and keep the boat floating. So the question is, if you're so hurt, which is possible, you're talking about the subtleties. I have not gone back and watched this. Now that you mention it and you seem firm about it, I will go back and do it myself to try to peek. But if it is as big of an issue as we think this is, because he was missing throws, you cannot miss, Jeff. And he's typically not that bad.
Yeah, that's not Baker. That's why I think there's something wrong. And I don't think it's his head, because I think his head is in a good spot. I really do, look, you really have to look at it, but watch specifically when he has to throw to the outside, and there were two throws to Odell, but the final throw, and there was a throw on a third down, down the right sideline that hit the defensive back in the back, in the third quarter, where you could see, and normally his left hand and arm would be out and extended a little bit, and it's up tight and almost touching his shoulder pad. And if you're playing along at home, try throwing a tennis ball that with your hand out in front one way, like a normal throw, and then try to have it with your thumb almost touching the top of your sternum and make the same throw and feel the difference on it and feel the loss of velocity or the slight loss of control, because that's what I saw. And I know I'm not the only person that saw it, because it was tipped off to me on Reddit, actually. So I did a little investigating on it, and I went back and I watched it, and I thought it was a salient point.
Sometimes Reddit and the TikTok world can find some things, man. Those people dig in a little bit. I will do the digging as well and see if I come up with something too, and we'll talk about it. But again, to the point here, if this is the issue that it seems to be, He can't play through this. I don't care how tough you are. And I know you're in a contract year. I get all that. But you're not helping yourself. And I really don't think you're helping the team, because I don't think Case is a world beater by any stretch of the imagination. But he can make some throws and he can do some things. And they can get by. They could have gotten by in a game in Minnesota. Clearly, they left. Minnesota's defense played fine, Jeff, but Odell should have had 200 plus. They should have put 30 on those guys.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
If you eliminate some of those missed throws. So, you know, the Baker stuff has to improve, but if you're not giving it a chance to improve, does it get better? It's going to take time. The bye week doesn't hit till November. So it's like, I just have a little bit of concern. The run game to me is fine. They're not busting the long runs, but they're running, you know, the Joe Thomas long speech back in the day. Explaining to folks the difference between 1-2, 1-2, 1-2, 3-4, 70, and actually running with efficiency is a different thing. And I think they're still running it efficiently. And people are clamoring for more carries. And it's like, you had 35 carries for 180 yards between those two guys, man. They're giving them the rock enough. You got to make some throws, right? Like, you can't give them 50 touches.
They're running the ball. They're running the ball effectively. And like you said, efficiently. They're getting a lot more like 6 and 7 yard runs and less 28 yard runs. But they're also seeing now Minnesota did bottle them up a couple times, and Chicago's defense did as well, specifically on Chubb. I thought they did a really good job, both teams the last week, of bringing the safety in quicker to close on the between the tackles runs. And if that's something they're taking away, I thought they adjusted brilliantly in Chicago with Hunt getting outside quicker. I think you saw more, you know, direct off tackle runs on the pitches to Nick Chubb to get him outside and get ahead of steam going. That was a nice little adjustment by Stefanski and Van Pelt. So, look, you got to be able to throw the ball in the NFL. I mean, it's great that you have the 1-2 punch that the Browns do at running back, and they're awesome. Like, no, they're doing well. Mm-hmm. But if you can't throw the ball, they're going to start creeping those safeties up. They're going to bring in an extra linebacker onto the field, or they're going to be able to stuff that a little bit better. We've seen what happens when teams are one-dimensional and they can't throw the ball. We've watched Pittsburgh play. They can't throw the ball at all down the field, and look what happens. They can't run because of it. More last year than this year, but this year's not good for them either. Look, Case Keenum's one of the best backup quarterbacks in football. He's paid that way for a reason. He understands the offense. They clearly trust him. I thought he was fine in the preseason from what we saw. If you're that committed to it, maybe give him a week. Maybe just let Baker sit. But the thing is, they would have to come out and say that it's absolutely injury-related. And the fact that they've downplayed how much the injury might be there or might not be there, that means you're starting to get into some fishy territory, because then it's like, oh my God, did they lose confidence? You can hear it now. Mm-hmm. You can name off the people who are going to say it now. And that's a situation that I'm not sure that they want to get into.
I very much agree. Very much agree. I'll ask you another kind of random question about the offense, which is they love using tight ends, and that's great, right? That's a part of their nature. But are they getting too cute with using too many tight ends and throwing scenarios where they need to throw the football to better pass catchers? And I'm particularly talking about Austin Hooper, who's very, you know, I like Hoop. He's just limited, and I don't see it turning around. Like, I don't see Austin Hooper. Like, he thrived in zone coverage holes left by two really, really good wide receivers in Atlanta. And now he's sort of being pressed into more situations where he has to actually beat second-level defenders, and it's not happening. So what I guess I'm getting at is, should Kevin trend toward more 11 personnel, sprinkling in, even getting crazy and going 10 personnel? Because these wide receivers like to block. Like, they're not immune to blocking. So I guess, like, in the vein of switching some things up to beat tendencies like you were talking about earlier, Jeff, because teams know what they like to do by now, would it be prudent to like Minnesota, who's up over 50% of 11 personnel this year after only using 27% of 11 personnel? They ran 6 snaps of 10 or 0-1 personnel last year. They were up at 20 before the Browns and Vikings even kicked off. Now, I know it even went up more. So they've changed. Yeah. Should they look into changing more, or is it, hey, we are who we are. Our identity is our identity. We're still able to put up points. We're just missing things, and it'll be fine. It'll come together, man. Shut up.
And this is the frustrating thing, because, look, Browns are 3-1. They have beaten a couple of pretty good teams along the way to getting to that point. I think Minnesota's a good football team. I think their record belies how good that team is. Mm-hmm. And I do think that they're going to bounce back, and that's a team that's going to win 8 or 9 games by the end of the season. And the Browns, we will look back at that and like, that's a road win in Minnesota. That looks pretty good now in December.
Yeah.
And I do think that the relatively poor offensive performance that we've seen sort of overshadows that. And that's, you know, you bring up, like, K.J. Osborne is the number 3 wide receiver in Minnesota. Is he better than Donovan Peoples-Jones? Is he better than Rashard Higgins? I don't think so. Mm-mm. He might be, but probably not. So if you're looking at who gives the Browns a better chance to get explosive plays in the passing game, Donovan Peoples-Jones, Anthony Schwartz, or Austin Hooper, or Harrison Bryant? Jesus, Tony can answer that one. I mean, come on.
I'm with you. It seems pretty self-explanatory. I get they're trying to hide and marry the run-pass stuff. I just think I'd like to see a few more snaps with some wide receivers on the field and those, even if they're bunched up. But I'm not complaining. Like, I think Kevin Stefanski has still been stellar this year. Like, he has schemed up open plays left and right to me. They were, you know, people were trying to complain about Sunday, Jeff, but like, I thought he called a masterful game plan.
The only thing that I saw Sunday was that when Demetric Felton was in the game, they were clearly trying to get, now he only played, I think, 6 snaps, mm-hmm. and they threw the ball to him twice, but it was very obvious when he came into the game that he was going to be the target, and they either need to use him as a decoy or play him more so he's not like, oh, he's in the game, he's getting the ball.
Sure.
Because I think Minnesota picked up on that pretty quickly, and I think they were right to do that, by the way. So other than that, yeah, I agree. I thought there were a lot of – this was a game where Baker let his offense down. You can I don't know how you could really complain about Stefanski's play calling as much. If you want to complain about the game, this is a game for Baker haters to like, hey, don't give that guy $40 million.
Yeah.
not to get into – because I don't want to get into contractual stuff. I know you don't either. Because that's going to work itself out in time. But this was a game for the Baker skeptics. He threw him a little red meat. We know Baker well enough that I think he's going to bounce back from it if he's healthy. And if he's not healthy, it's incumbent upon him to be like, hey, you know what? I'm not right. I need some time. Mm-hmm. You know, let me sit for a week. The schedule is what it is. It's not a bad time right now. You're 3-1. I know Cincinnati and Baltimore are both 3-1 as well, and that presents some interesting issues. But having watched every Baltimore game this year, Browns are better than the Ravens. I have no question in my mind about that. Mm-hmm. And for long term, I think if you sit him for a week now and he gets better, you know, you aggressively rehab the shoulder, make sure that everything's okay, and it also just gives him a chance to clear his head. And it also, like, it gives him a chance to show something different with Case Keenum, because Case doesn't have the downfield arm. Yeah. But he's surgical on the crossing routes, mm-hmm. and the combination routes that they run. We've seen him light defenses up doing that. It's not a terrible idea, again, but you have to, the hard part is selling it now, because Stefanski's come out and said, oh, Baker's fine, it's not his shoulder. Baker said, it's not my shoulder. If that's true, then Baker's just not playing well, and I think that's worse. And I'm not sure that they've handled that framing very well.
Yeah, I mean, you're not making an excuse if you say, hey, my shoulder's not right, but I'm really, really trying here. Like, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. So, again, people can do that. Well, you can't say it in the public. Well, everybody knows you hurt your shoulder. You left the game.
We saw it. My God, it popped out. I was stunned he came back.
Yeah, like there's no, everyone knows. So they're not giving a competitor any advantage, because they're obviously going to, if they're that type of team, go after your shoulder regardless. So there's no advantage or disadvantage to just being honest. Like, yeah, man, I'm really trying. My shoulder's killing me. We're rehabbing it. We're working through it, but it's bothering me and I'm trying to play well. But also, nobody cares and I don't really like to talk about it. So whatever. Like, I wouldn't look down on him. Nobody would look down on him. And that's not excuse making. So I don't know, but you're right. They have framed it as it's not a problem. So if you're going to frame it as it's not a problem and then backwalk it and say, well, we're actually going to give him a week, it would be a little weird to me. So
yeah,
if it's not a problem.
That's the hard part they're running into.
Yeah, if it's not a problem, then you got to play better.
What you can do is you can, and this is shady, and I don't like even suggesting it, but this is what NFL teams do. I've seen a team do it. I've covered a team that did it when the quarterback was hurt, when he got hit in the next game and they knew he was hurt, like, oh crap, he stayed down. And they took him out and they brought the backup in that way. That's how they did it. I don't want the Browns to get in that sort of dirty pool, because the team that did that is paying some serious karmic price for it right now. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to see that happen. But again, the other thing is, I'm fairly convinced that the shoulder is, look, he can play through it, but it's not right. And I don't want him to get it. So it's not, I don't want it to get knocked out again. You know, and I, again, I'm not a doctor. I don't know or understand the likelihood of a re-injury on that. All I know is that when my shoulder hurts and I rest it, it gets better. Yeah. And when I keep doing things when it hurts, it doesn't get better. And my game doesn't get better at whatever game I'm trying to do. As you know, I played volleyball for a very long time. Mm-hmm. I know shoulder injuries pretty darn well. And when my one shoulder wasn't good, it did impact the way I hit with the other shoulder. It impacted the way that I approached things. And maybe that's my background bias on that. I don't know, but they're in a really weird spot with it. And maybe if Baker doesn't play well again this Sunday, they can, that's when you say, okay, you know what? He hasn't been right. We need to sit him a little bit. Yeah. But at the same time, they haven't handled Jed that way either. This was something that, you know, our friend Jared Mueller has brought up. Like, I don't know if they're handling the injuries all that well this year. Like they've done such a great job at pretty much everything. But between that and, you know, how they've handled, you know, just a bunch of little injuries that are out there, I'm not sure that they're getting an A from the grade card for the quarter of the season thing on me for how they've handled the injuries.
It has been weird. It has been weird. And the way they approach talking about them, all the way dating back to, you know, Greedy Williams, and all of a sudden it was like, we think he's day-to-day, he's day-to-day. And then boom, it's like, well, yeah, he actually hasn't been able to move his arm at all. He can't do anything with it.
So he's gonna be out for the year.
Yeah.
It's like overnight. Yeah, that's
I'm
weird.
With you. It is strange. It's bizarre. But I don't think it's a stretch to say that the fate of this season, the talent is Super Bowl level. We've seen it now.
It's
manifested
itself. Yes, it is.
It rides on Baker's ability to do the things that he's always done. He doesn't have to turn himself into Aaron Rodgers overnight. He doesn't have to become this chaos savant. He doesn't have to do that yet. He just has to hit the throws that they give him, and they're giving him throws to make, and he's got to make them. And if the shoulder's a problem, you got to take some time off to get it right, so that in games that matter from the midseason point on, you can be right and be the guy they need him to be, right? So that's where the hinge is on. We can talk about every angle. We can create personnel discussions. We can talk about running. But it's the quarterback. So
he has to be better than he was Sunday, whether it's healthy or injured. He did not play well. And I think he would be the first person to tell you that he didn't play well, that he left some throws on the field. I don't see any chemistry issues with Odell. I don't see any, you know, friction between Baker and Stefanski and how the offense is being called. It's none of that. Baker just had a bad day. Mm-hmm. Aaron Rodgers had go back to week one. Aaron Rodgers had an awful day. He bounced back from it. Baker, show me that you belong in that level. Obviously, you're not. He's not in the MVP conversation the way Rodgers is. But be able to bounce back from Josh Allen did not have a good game in week one against Pittsburgh. Since then, he's been amazing. I know, because he's my fantasy quarterback. He's lit it up every week. you have the guys that can bounce back like that, and that's where I want to see Baker. And if Baker wants to, you know, prove that he's a worthy of a Josh Allen-type contract, and I think that's what his goal is, go do it, dude.
Yeah.
But if you're not healthy, it's not going to happen. And he has to have that realization. And people around him have to have that conversation to sort of protect him from himself. I'll put on my Detroit Lions hat for a quick second here, because it does remind me of when Matthew Stafford played through his back injury in 2018 or 2019. He broke his back both years. So it's hard to remember. But that year he played through it, and it was clearly bothering him and impacting his play. But he's like, no, man, I'm good. I'm good. I'm good. That's all he would ever say about it. Like, but you could tell that it was bothering him much more than Baker's thing is. But the Lions didn't responsibly shut him down. and it impacted the entire rest of the team. Now, they obviously didn't have as much playing going on. That was a rotten team that was going in the wrong direction. The Browns are in the opposite direction. But the larger point is the team responds to the quarterback. And if the quarterback isn't right, like, that hurts the confidence of the rest of the guys out there. Like, I know that Case Keenum is not Baker Mayfield, and you can't expect him to be. But maybe for four quarters, he can be close enough that you can get by for a win. Maybe eight quarters if you have to. It's something that they at least have to consider, because right now, like you said, the goal is to play deep into January, winning the more meaningful games on the schedule when they come start, and that starts coming fairly soon. You know, if you drop to 3-2, it's not going to be the end of the world. If you have to do it, obviously you want to keep winning because you want that home field, and it's there for the taking. They have the best record in the AFC, along with, like, what, seven other teams?
They do, Jeff. Everything's in front of them. I've said it. I wrote it Monday.
It's there, man. It's
season,
there.
Yeah, the season's not defined by that game. It's just you do have to wonder. Again, you're not – I've been saying this battle since the start of the year, concern versus panic. We're not panicking, but it's concerning, right? So you got to see it change, and until you see it change, you have discussions about it to see how it does change. So we'll see if they get it rectified in LA. They'll have a great chance. Team doesn't stop the run well. They'll have some play action throws off of it, and we'll be all eyes dialed into it. Jeff Risden, he's the man. Make sure you follow him at Jeff Risden. Nothing fancy on that Twitter handle, his name. Follow him if you're not. I know you are. Jeff, we appreciate your time, man.
Jake, thanks for having me in, man. Keep up the good work. It's great seeing your film breakdowns, and thanks again for having me on.
Guys, thanks for joining today. A reminder about the hat giveaway. That's coming Friday. I'm going to make a live announcement on the podcast. I will put it on my Twitter, too, Friday morning. If you have not left a review for the show, do so. It's very simple. Tell me your review. And I'm not begging you for perfect reviews. Give the review you believe is fair. Leave your Twitter handle and in that review, and you will be entered into the chance to get the giveaway action. You can get a hat, a Browns Film Breakdown hat from the original start of the podcast a long time ago. I got about 10 of those suckers to give away. So looking forward to that. Just check out the scouting notes that are up. Both sides of the football by the end of Wednesday. Defense is already out there for you to check out. Offense, like I said, will be out later on Wednesday. Have a great day, everybody. Check out the Twitch channel tonight for the Chalk Talk on defense and offensive line play. That'll be out for your consumption. Have a great day. Stay safe. Enjoy yourself. And we sign off with our usual Go Browns.